Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
6 seconds remaining. Leonard, back up Van Fleet. Van Fleet kicks it out. Lowry. Lowry for the win. Won't go. And there'll be a game six in Oakland.
And it was a great job of double-teaming Leonard so he couldn't beat him. Andre Iguodala with a terrific defensive play. Draymond Green with a great rotation to the corner.
Middays on the Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you and see you in October. Let's talk some NBA with Mark Deeks. He is on Twitter at MarkDeeksNBA. He of ShamSports.com and Sky Sports NBA joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Mark, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I think I read somewhere on Twitter this morning that this is the 22nd anniversary of MJ's flu game. This is the equivalent for me right here. My head hurts. My leg hurts a bit. It's all happening, but I'm happy to be here just to give you another heroic performance up there with the great MJ.
Thrilled to have you, and look at you playing through everything. I don't know if you feel that you're in the same no-win situation that Kevin Durant seemed to be in, but reading your latest on skysports.com, I find your assessment that Durant was in a no-win situation last night pretty fascinating. I wonder if you can outline it for us.
Well, what was he supposed to do, gentlemen? Because of the way he joined the Golden State Warriors, there's always been antipathy towards him. People don't like that happens, and that's perfectly understandable. The already exceedingly rich got richer. The circumstances around which it happens, the 2016 free agency boon, the fact that it was possible for them as a team because of Steph Curry being underpaid due to his previous ankle injuries, a lot of fortuitous stuff dovetailed at the same time for them. So we needn't worry too much about preventing it in the future because it only happened once due to one-off events. However, it happened. People didn't like it. Ever since that happened, there has been animosity, of course there has, towards the Warriors in general, but also Durant as an individual. To many, he tarred himself with that decision in a way that could never be undone. He left a very good team to join the best team, and from now on, he will never be considered good enough for some people. And it's been since then, the near 3 years now, that narratives around him have grown. Negative ones, pessimistic ones that he can do nothing about. The main one of late has been, are the Warriors better without him? Which is nuts, but people have been saying it anyway, and because they want it to be true. They want it to be derogatory towards Kevin Durant. I'm not a staunch Durant supporter here. I'm impartial either way. But in this particular situation, gentlemen, what was he meant to do? Was he meant to play last night? Well, if he didn't, there was already a narrative building up. There were some rumors of dissent in the lines, in the Warriors' lines, that he wasn't giving it enough go, that he wasn't being fair, that he wasn't committed enough. It didn't help the optics that we've got Kevon Looney playing with a fractured collarbone and Andre Iguodala on one leg. It didn't help to see that. And those who wanted to question KD's toughness had plenty of material to do so because of what his teammates were going through. But in the end, what was he going to do? Was he going to not play in Game 5 if you lose, you're eliminated? What does that do to his legacy? People would just assume, like they did for Kawhi last year, that he was being a coward. So he couldn't do that right. If he did play and didn't play very well, the Warriors would have lost, and he would have been leaving the team this summer anyway. If he did play and did play well, people would have said, why didn't he come back before? There was nothing he could do. The only way he could come out of this as a sympathetic character is to have happen exactly what did. It's not a good outcome. It's a horrible outcome. But at least people can now concede, you know what, fair play, he was injured. So it was a no-win situation. He lost, and he lost as badly as he could have done. And can we at least have a bit of sympathy for the man for trying?
And now we can all operate under the assumption that if indeed this is a complete rupture of the Achilles tendon, that next year is pretty much out. So the question remains, does he opt in and does he make 30-some million dollars to rehab with the Warriors in what could be an uncomfortable situation if he's still planning on leaving? Or, as some speculate, those offers are still going to come right damn now from the Knicks or the Nets or whomever, and he may just get to rehab in his new environs and begin that situation rather than extend something old and maybe untenable.
Well, the conceit that we have with surrounding free agency is the idea that it begins on July the 1st. It doesn't. There will already have been discussions of a very peripheral level as to what offers are out there for him. They will know before the opt-out date comes in the coming fortnight whether or not the offers will be on the table. And by that time, of course, we will know if it is a full-on Achilles situation. So he won't be going in blind. It's very unfortunate this has happened, and it does change things, but he won't be making a decision on a whim. He will know what's out there. As for whether those teams, Knicks in particular, for one such example, will continue to make the offers, I think they will, like you say. I think they should, like you say, because if you're going to pay someone to rehab, you pay him. That's Kevin Durant. Mm. So I think they will still come in. I do think he will still opt out. I don't know if he should. Then again, I don't know if he should have done anyway. It's not like the Warriors have been having fun at all over the last few months. It's not like they have that unbeatable edge to them that they did for the first couple of years of their reign. It did look as though a divorce of some kind was happening. It was just a question of how acrimonious it was going to be and whether they could win a title on their way out the door. So I expect he probably will. As for where he goes, well, who's bravest?
So, I mean, that's kind of the question, right? Who's bravest, but also who has the cap flexibility and the willingness to wait while they pay him? I mean, is it possible that given his injury situation, let's assume it's the popped Achilles, is it possible that we might know more now about where he could end up than we did prior to the injury?
Well, you'd have to think it would thin the field for those who are looking to acquire stars but have a slightly more urgency about them. I'm not saying there was ever a great chance that he would join, for example, the LA Clippers, and I'm not saying they're in an urgent all-in situation. But with them, if they had a star or superstar now, they're already contenders. But someone like the Knicks, that's not the case. So for them, there is incentive to add a superstar who is out for the year, potentially stay in the lottery one more year and get that one extra sweet, sweet pick, and then become good, assuming Durant comes back to his best. If we think back to the process of the Philadelphia 76ers, whilst it was in large part punctuated by all the dead salaries they took on and all the draft assets that came with them, the reason the process worked is that in selecting Joel Embiid on purpose, Ben Simmons by accident, Dario Saric on purpose, they drafted players who did not contribute in their first years. The first two cases due to injury, the third one due to playing abroad. That allowed them to keep kicking the can, getting in those good picks. And it was the sheer volume of options that they had that allowed the process to succeed. Because you're not going to nail it with every pick or every asset. You want as many as possible to give yourself as many chances as you can. The perverse upside of this Durant injury is because it's going to take time for him to be that player that he was. I mean, again, I'm assuming, like you, it's an Achilles tendon. It certainly looked like it. The upside of this is that it will keep him out for the year. So a team that was in a financial position where they were able to pursue someone like Durant, such as the New York Knicks, they now may be able to get the star player, stay bad enough to get another good draft asset, air out some young players, and it will kick on their reload if they can just stomach it for one more year. So it doesn't. It will penalize Durant as an individual and any team who signs him, if he's not able to come back to near where he was, absolutely. But if he does, there is an upside to this.
I think it changes the calculation of that second guy, too, because so many of these teams have cleared two spots, and you can hear him linked to whomever it may be, whether it's Kyrie Irving or somebody else. That's what I'm wondering is, how does that next player receive the pitch from a team, exactly as you say? Look, he's going to rehab with us. He's going to come back. He's going to be close to 32, but he's still going to have a little bit of prime-ish time left, and he should age well with the way he plays the game. Doesn't that affect the sales pitch of that other guy who would then, like you say, Mark, have to bear the burden of maybe struggling through a season after signing a big deal where you previously had the hopes of jumping right into contention?
It does. And Kyrie's case in particular has always been a bit baffling because he wanted out from under the specter of the great LeBron James in order to get his own team. Got it. And then it turns out that wasn't optimum for him, be it personally or professionally. Does he still want that again? Does he want to go to Brooklyn, a good team where he will be the man, and still not be quite good enough to get over the hump? Apparently, yes. Yet, if he was also in the line, in the running for pairing up with Durant or equivalent, then it's unclear what he wants quite out of this. So, yes, you're right. It does muddy the waters. At this time, particularly with some of the free agent candidates, we're talking about Kyrie, Kawhi, everyone else whose name starts with a K. This is going to be possibly their last big chance to get a big contract. So their individual priorities, they must take precedence. The idea of teaming up has become romanticized after the Durant thing, after the big three back in Miami back in 2010. It's still not the reality. It's the exception. So I wouldn't anticipate too much that it changes things unless there was something that was already going to go down. Unless Kyrie and Durant were, for example, going to go to the Knicks, it may change that, yes. I don't think it should change too much, however, because we must all exercise our own individual agency, gentlemen, especially when we're looking at massive paydays that we'll never get again. So, again, the bravest will win.
Talking about the biggest story going right now, Kevin Durant's injury and how it affects the Warriors and the rest of the NBA. He is Mark Deeks at Mark Deeks NBA on Twitter, Sky Sports NBA, ShamSports.com. You've got the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on The Score. Mark, I want to go to the game just a little bit here because I thought Nick Nurse made a couple of decisions that I can't quite justify. It's the timeout with about 2:40 left and up six, and then it's not using one with 15 left to try and make sure that Kawhi gets the ball. All those things considered, and now Kevin Durant is out. I figure the Raptors take this thing eventually, and the Warriors don't stand much of a chance. But that one got away some from Toronto, I think.
You may well be right. I try not to run the gamut of second-guessing coaching decisions because that would profess that I knew in any way more about coaching than Nick Nurse, whom, having seen him come up to the British rankings, I know to be a particularly good coach. The timeout with up six, I suspect, was largely just because Kawhi looked absolutely gassed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right option is there. You do need to rest your star, otherwise you're reducing your chances of closing the game out. At the same time, it's a freebie to the opposition who badly need it. I think that's a bit of a lose-lose in itself. We must be careful. I'm not saying you did this or anyone has done this, but we must be careful not to judge the decision by how it turned out, because it could have been the case that if Toronto had closed that out, we would A, not remember the timeout, and B, if we did, we would consider it to have been a good decision to consolidate, get some rest, close it out. So we shouldn't measure the process by the results necessarily, but it's fairly reason for concern. Nevertheless, you're not going to win them all. Coaches have to be perfect whilst juggling so many things: rotations, minutes, fouls, matchups, switches. If Nurse did make a couple of regrettable decisions, I could understand that. I don't think it's what cost them the game necessarily. We amplify that which happens down the stretch of being of greater importance, but let's say he'd made an error with 3 minutes left in the first that also swung two possessions. We're conveniently going to forget those. Overall, Nick Nurse as a coach and the Toronto staff in general have come into this series incredibly, incredibly well prepared for knowing what Golden State are going to do and how they're going to trap it, where they're going to show, how they're going to push people. Their defense has been pretty meticulous. With the possible exception of last night's game, a few more breakdowns, 23s for Golden State, but it's been very, very precise from Toronto overall. And so if the timeouts were in error, as the outcome would seem to suggest, okay, but like you, I still think they're closing it out.
I was a little surprised that Kawhi Leonard didn't find himself that final shot. And same. Maybe he was a little bit tired. And maybe when Iguodala came, we were just running out on him under control like he did, that he didn't think that he had the angle. But it was a little frustrating for Toronto fans knowing that their best player didn't take the most important shot in the history of their team.
True, but then John Paxson hit that three that time in a roughly similar situation. So sometimes, you want Kawhi to at least have the option of getting the ball. Golden State did drape themselves over him quite well, Iguodala in particular. I don't think it was a bad shot necessarily. While we talk about getting the shot to their best player, it's not like Norman Powell was taking it. This is Kyle Lowry, a multi-time All-Star. He has had his postseason problems in the past, but they are in the past. And it wasn't a bad look. It was just very well defended by a team that, in an individual possession basis, can play some very good defense.
If the Warriors are to take it to a Game 7, you figure, I mean, is it DeMarcus Cousins that has to give them something more like he did in his good game than the two where he was just kind of lost? I don't know how they rally from this necessarily, other than just saying, well, it's got to be Steph and Klay putting up 75 points.
Yes, I wish I knew that answer as well. With regards to Cousins as an individual, Golden State, they've had, as you've seen, very mixed results with him in a starting lineup. They've had slightly more favorable results, I feel, and this is entirely anecdotal, staggering him with Steph. It's weird to stagger your starting point guard with your backup center, but because of Cousins' passing and confidence in the handle, it does at least give some breathing space to an offense that really struggles without him when it's relying on Quinn Cook and a little bit more handling from Draymond. I think they could have some more success in that role of one-to-one matchups with Ibaka and being allowed to handle the ball on the perimeter. He's got no explosion, zero explosion around the rim. He couldn't jump over a piece of paper right now. So looking to him for post offense outside of finishing other people's looks is not going to work. Asking him to be a high volume outside shooter is not going to work. He might as well ask Jerebko. But if he could be the pressure release valve, the one whom can handle a little bit on the outside, pass a little bit to alleviate the constant bombardment of Raptors pressure in Golden State's pick and roll action, that may be the way for him to find his usage out there.
Mark, as we let you go, what do you think the future holds for Kawhi Leonard, however this series ends up for him?
Oh, he's got to go back. I'd be surprised if he didn't, and I'd be staggered if he didn't. Why wouldn't he?
Because he's weird,
yeah.
Frankly.
I mean, we're all weird, mate, but at the same time, we've got
to... Amen!
We got to play... I mean, he's going to possibly win a title here. He should win a title here. How'd you leave that?
Well, couldn't you say, look, I did my job, I won a title, and now I'm moving on to different things. Here's your title, congratulations, I got it for you, and now I'm going to go try something else.
You could, but what else is he going to try if it's not winning another title? If that's his aim, he may as well stay where he is.
I agree. I just know that that's one of the more unpredictable guys in this league right now. The other thing,
absolutely, you cannot read that man whatsoever. He should, however, stay. I think by any objective measure, how objective this slightly bizarre man is, we shall find out.
And one real quick thing too, it looks like, and this is just from people who are close to the situation, with Greg Popovich arranging for his final extension there and seeing what's gone on with some of the former assistants in Ettore Messina and those that are going back to Europe, do you think this is setting up for Becky Hammon to succeed Greg Popovich in San Antonio?
Well, the Messina thing is big news, because you must understand that over in my continent, Ettore Messina is a legend. Over in the NBA, he's been an assistant for many years, and to be an assistant, a premier assistant for Greg Popovich and the Spurs is a premier gig of sorts, but he never got a head coaching spot. Over here, he's a legend. I guess he got impatient and just wanted to get in there, because he's in the second half of his coaching career. He just wants to be a head coach. It's a loss that he's come back to Milano this week. It certainly serves Hammond well, though. She has endless, palpable respect from everyone in and around the NBA. It must count for something. And if everyone else in the Popovich coaching tree is going to go get head spots elsewhere, well, again, fortune favors the brave. How long does she want to wait?
Mark, this is always really fun. We appreciate
it,
you taking the time in.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you, Jim.
That is Mark Deeks of Sky Sports NBA.
I love him calling you out for calling somebody else weird.
We're all weird,
mate. We're all weird, mate. This segment is brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass. So when do you get it to Gerber? Ooh. And you back into someone who's backing out? That's when you get it to Gerber. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit GerberCollision.com or call 877-7-GERBER to find your nearest Gerber location. A lot to chew on there. And I know that we had some callers who wanted to jump on earlier to talk about this situation. And we still have this ridiculous false equivalency going on. Boy, the Derrick Rose fanboys just never quit. They're on you today. Fascinating little subset of basketball people that have terrible memories.
I don't know if they like standing for Derrick Rose. However, you know, right or wrong, standing up for Derrick Rose or hopping all over you
terrible,
more.
Terrible, terrible memories about what happened, how it happened, who was observing what happened, the timelines of everything. So it's a combination of just having the access to a keyboard or a phone and having really really, really bad memory. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. If you were in line to jump on with thoughts, this is a good time if you want to weigh in on the situation last night. I know we have the ongoing Twitter poll at Bernstein_MCK about who's to blame for the unfortunate occurrence with Kevin Durant.
We'll check in on those results when we get back. I'll also tell you where I think Kawhi's probably ending up after all of this, because the Raptors are going to seal themselves a title in just a couple of days. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Wolves, the Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves, would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are in what we're calling the Culinary Studio, because it's the Intercom Culinary Kitchen, and it's the Temporary Score Studios, while all of those workmen are crawling all over the studios to revamp them.
We're going
to
have to light the fires back here at some point in the next couple of shows and cook something while we're doing the show, aren't we? I mean, this is how we
have allowed to. They shut it down. They shut down the fuel.
Allowed is such a, you know, that's a fungible term. It doesn't mean what you think it means. And if you're doing anything over the last 10 years of your broadcasting career, it has to be getting into a kitchen while doing the sports show. Those are two things that Dan Bernstein is just known for. That you're due. You've got to cook while you're doing the show.
They won't let me. They won't let me.
So there's news out. Shams Charania of Stadium Sports has this. Golden State's Kevin Durant is traveling to New York for doctor evaluations on his injured right Achilles tendon, league sources tell Chams. So there's that news out. And obviously the Kevin Durant injury is one that has shaken the NBA to its core. The poll is out there on Bernstein_MCK on Twitter. We asked, we're trying to ascertain fault, because I think that's a natural reaction to this. There may not be any fault to the decisions that got made last night to get Kevin Durant out on the floor and a second quarter folding up with what looks to be an Achilles injury. That poll right now says 65%, no one to blame. 18% lays it on the front office in the organization, which is kind of where I land on things if I had to. 10% say Durant himself. 7% say the trainers. And I think, you know, in an offseason that was set to be so seismic in this league, I think what you've got now are the most likely scenarios. We talked about it with Mark Deeks just a few minutes ago, are the likely scenarios of Kevin Durant opting back into his $31.5 million deal with the Golden State Warriors.
I don't think so.
I do. And I think it's Kawhi staying in Toronto. I think you have those two guys staying in places that nobody really expected them to be in. Why don't you think Kevin Durant stays?
Why would he? I agree with you on the latter. If you
that Kawhi stays in Toronto?
Yeah, that I tend to agree with. But if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm done. He's flying to New York today, by the way, to be evaluated by doctors in New York, just to FYI. I don't think that has anything to do with the Knicks or the Nets. But the best thing you can do is begin the next phase of your career when you're given that opportunity.
But Dan,
also, do you want the doctors in any way partially responsible for this, however you want to deal with that? Do you want them in charge of the rehab when you're going to be going to a different team anyway?
But then his next phase, if he goes to a different team, if it's the sign and trade that we talked about with Rick, which may well be the best move for the Warriors and whatever next franchise gets Kevin Durant, but I don't think for him, that means his next phase begins with being paid 30-something, probably $35 million or something, in a new place, not playing away from his team. It reignites every single piece that Kevin Durant was uncomfortable with over the last couple of years. And I don't even mean to buy into the he wanted to slay his own detractors, that he wanted to end the soft legacy thing. Just look at how he himself has interacted with people on social media. He's in on this. He understands it. It is a part of him. He's that superstar that listens to the outside and responds to it as well. It's really difficult for anybody to tell me that that's not been part of his decision-making process. Maybe the overriding thing is winning titles and being there for his teammates and being as into the wins and losses this past series and everything he's been doing since the 45 days he's been out, everything the team's been doing, sure. But you want to start your next phase by being the highest paid player in a brand new spot and unable to contribute?
You know why? Because I don't know what kind of player I'm going to be. at age 32 coming off a devastating injury. And if somebody's offering me guaranteed money on a multi-year contract rather than me betting on myself, we know what the maxes are here.
Yeah.
He doesn't get, all you're doing is risking, and someone's probably going to pay him anyway, you think. But if someone's locking in, if that offer comes, I'm taking it when I can.
But if that's the truth, if that's true, that Kevin Durant is not at the end of this injury, at the end of the rehab process, not going to know what kind of player he's going to be, then that will still be true when his rehab is over, when his $31.5 million player option expires.
Yeah, but
Warriors.
He'll have the money. If he takes the multi-year guarantee from another team, he's got it.
No, but the unknowns don't change. Because if that's the case, that he's not going to know who he is, then he won't play next year.
But that way, but the team is making that bet. He's not making the bet.
But how is the team's bet any different if the Warriors pay him this year or if you do?
Because he's got a multi-year deal. So he's not signing a one-year deal with another team.
I know, I understand what his financial situation is. I'm just saying that the bet, if I'm the NBA, if I'm the Nets, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this bet on Kevin Durant, I have no more knowledge of the injury, really, after a year of his rehab, because he's not going to play if that doubt is in his mind. It's the same situation. The team is still then betting the max slot and whatever financial flexibility they've got to on Durant returning to some kind of form.
But they're ready to bet it right now. They're ready to give him that money. They don't care.
Do we know that?
The other thing is, and I mean, there's already been reports out that teams are still going to give him the max.
Like, yes. They're going to have to give him the max. That's a CBA thing as much as anything else.
Well, the other thing is, since there's a cap and you know what you can pay, what percent of this version of Kevin Durant does he have to be to still earn a max contract?
Yeah, if you start, that's like looking at the Bryce Harper money and looking at dollars per win.
Sure.
I don't know that they can. Have you ever seen that, Rick? Is there sort of a similar metric to the FanGraphs?
Wins per dollar,
essentially? Yeah, whatever.
Cost? Outside of just like generic win shares, which can be a little wonky but not really. But it's just, you look at the value of guys that are getting max contracts. And mind you, that's taking it away from let's say it is the Nets with Kyrie and whatever's left of that roster. It is the question of, is it then good enough if he's, like, the name I've been bringing up, I think partially just because of the shooting and because of size or similar, is Rashard Lewis. If he's Rashard, like, close to prime Rashard Lewis coming back from this, where he's...
Who himself got a massive deal for being Rashard Lewis.
Exactly. If he can just essentially be a damn good shooter and maybe not be able to do near as much off the dribble, but they put the ball in Kyrie's hands along with other shooting... He may not be worth exactly what he's going to get paid, but he can still be really damn good. And that's not even a best case scenario for his rehab.
Right. The question is if he's just a floor spacer or if he can be what he has been when he's great. And that is a willing and able rim defender as well.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I just don't think that the fact that a team will offer him a max deal doesn't necessarily mean that teams now are just completely willing to assume that he'll get back to being Kevin Durant. This will be a 32-year-old player, damn near a 32-year-old player, over 7 foot, now coming back from what we all assume is a major Achilles tear. That matters to me. I'm sorry, the future prospects of Kevin Durant are now somewhat in doubt. You've got to come back
Correct.
From that major injury.
Ron is calling from Waukegan. He's on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Hey, guys. I want to ask you, didn't you think it was a little bit of negligence from the trainer standpoint in terms of okaying Kevin? And the only reason I say that is literally my 18-year-old, the day before he came back, made the statement, if he comes back too soon, he's going to tear an ACL or blow an Achilles because the body just is going to compensate in a different way for a lower calf injury. I thought it was like automatic that you wouldn't want to make that decision based on that specific risk.
We don't know because we haven't seen the MRIs that everybody else was looking at. And even two people can look at the same MRI and come away with different conclusions and different recommendations.
Oh, I could certainly come away with a different conclusion than a doctor.
Well, right.
I can do that for you.
Two equally qualified, respected doctors could have divergent opinions from the very same imaging. We'll never ever know, Ron. We'll never know. Or it's possible it's entirely unrelated. That possibility is on the board that he could have had a strained calf of the actual area of the calf muscle. What is it? The Is that the gastrocnemius, I believe it is?
Yeah, that's the
I think so. I think it's the gastrocnemius.
Isn't that a Greek basketball coach?
And it could have been up near the top. And this,
Giannis's
and,
first
and it,
guy, yeah.
It could have been nothing but dumb coincidence. That is, I'm not saying that's probable. I'm saying that's possible.
I'm still holding out for a live stream, at some point during the offseason, a live stream on Instagram of Kevin Durant detailing all of the medical nuance of his injuries. It's as likely as anything else. Did you see what he posted on Instagram just after the game wrapped up? It was a black background, all white text, and it read like this: Dub Nation going to be loud as bleep for game 6. I'm hurting deep in the soul right now, and I can't lie, but seeing my brothers get this win was like taking a shot of tequila. I got new life. LOL. Hashtag Dubs. I'm just saying, you get that kind of precursor to an Instagram story, and I'm not ruling it out that Kevin Durant just details the entire trip to the doctors and lets us know everything that happens
in
his life.
You're asking Dan to comment on emotion. You realize this, right?
Yes, Dan, access the emotion part of the database.
This segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. We are going to have a conversation with Lawrence Holmes in just a bit. Also, want to let you know, we've added a couple of remotes for next week. We are going to be back out at Gallagher Way Tuesday and Wednesday, the
awesome.
18th and the 19th, we will be celebrating the start of the Wintrust Crosstown Series, 670 The Score, broadcasting all day, 9 a.m. until first pitch at 7:05, brought to you by Wintrust, presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. That is both Tuesday and Wednesday.
It'll be a good time out there. It was a great time to be out there on Friday with Lawrence, who is on his way into the culinary studios in just a moment. Transition is next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight in the culinary studio.
That's where we're at.
Right? It's an amalgam of the culinary kitchen and the Score studios, and it's been really nice. You know, usually I get worried about these things because you never know, and there's all sorts of unknown unknowns and variables, but all good, all comfortable on what was a very, very busy day today. And we thank everybody involved, all the Score engineers. We thank our guests, Joe Sheehan and Mark Deeks. We thank the producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and Ray Diaz. Brian Gertsch had the video feed. Joe Ostrowski had the updates. Mike Florio will get us caught up on all things NFL tomorrow at his usual time.
The other thing coming from this Raptors-Warriors deal were these shots and images from the Jurassic Park and from inside the arena. The Warriors fans were watching at the Staples Center, all this stuff. I mean, my God, you've got crowds cheering for the man's injury.
Yeah, it raises the debate of...
It's not a debate.
Would any... No, the debate is, would that be the reaction of any and all fandoms?
Maybe.
Similarly gathered with that kind of mob mentality and energy, is there any fandom that could say, we wouldn't act like that?
No. Oh, no. There's not a group of people in the world that could say, we don't have any jerks here, and they're not going to root for something so horrible. But it's just...
Especially in Canada, where they're nicer. I mean, could you imagine if that's Philly or something?
By law. Right. By law, they have to be nicer. It's like they have to sign the whole thing. No, I can't imagine acting that way. I can't imagine reacting that way. And it's pretty gross to just watch happen over and over again from a number of different... Not Drake, though. Drake lets you know that he was very upset. Drake's very... He is out there letting everyone know just how upset he is that Kevin Durant is hurt and the Raptors didn't win the game and all this stuff. Drake, there's going to be a video and an album, and I'm not ready for it. I can't have it.
Lawrence Holmes joins the party next. Keep it here. You got the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.